Well, thank you, Joy. We know not what another day brings forth, but we know who holds tomorrow, so that is great. We trust him anyway. Amen. Our mission conference has been great. We're going to finish it on off tonight. We had Brother Mormon with us this morning, kind of looking after the fellows, and then Brother Tom Knickerbocker has taken over for him tonight. And I'm going to ask Brother Tom to come on up, and then we've got a few men we have not heard from yet, and Brother Tom is going to introduce those to us tonight. Good to have you, Brother Tom.
Thank you, Pastor. Well, we're glad to be here tonight. We've had a little bit of praying, giving, and going already. That's music and the prayer time, and just wonderful time. We have three of our national pastors that haven't given testimonies. They're going to do so at this time. And Brother Chit, if you'll come up at this time. Brother Andrew Chit is from Burma and does a great work over there. Then secondly, and I'm going to introduce them all. They're just going to go back to back, bang, bang, bang. They know they have 3.5 minutes each. Oh, I told you 4, didn't I? I'm sorry. Okay. this is their last service. Even those who are more stately, very subdued, were laughing earlier tonight. Just joking. And Brother Hilario was one of those. With a name like Hilario, that's hilarious, isn't it? Amen. Hilarious Larry. And he's going to be second from the Philippines. And then Brother Coffee from Togo. Now, Coffee means Friday in his language. And so the people in his country told him, everybody's got to take on an African name. So he chose the day he was born, Friday, Coffee. So I call him Coffee Creamer. We call him Coffee everything. You know, we have a good time with him. But he's a great blessing, and he's from Togo, West Africa. And so, Brother Andrew, just give us a testimony, all right?
Well, good evening, everyone. I thank the Lord for giving me this opportunity. Having opportunity, I'd like to share two things. One is saying something about our ministry there in Burma, and say something about Burma as well. My name is Andrew Chit Nguyen. I came from Burma. I was born and raised up in a Christian family. I belong to the third generation Christian family. In the year 1987, I got saved by the preaching of one Burmese pastor. And after getting saved, I surrendered my life to the Lord, and God opened a way to go to Bible school in India for 3 years. After coming back from Bible school, I started teaching in one Bible school, and unexpectedly, our Bible school moved down to the capital city, which is 500 miles far from my native place. In the year 1999, I got married with my wife, Rachel. God has blessed me 5 children. 2 are boys, 3 are girls, 1 is an adopted child. So moving in the area of unsaved Buddhist, you know, it is we had a hard time to evangelize the people. They did not like us. They threw stone to our house. Many times they threatened us to put us in jail. And they tried to stop our school many times. But I found out that most important thing in the ministry is faithfulness. Amen. You know, we went through hardships and problems, but God knows everything, and God opened a way to establish a church which is called Mercy Baptist Church in 2003. When we start our missions, it was a handful of people. We start with 2 family, and in 2009, I joined with Help Ministry. Now the church has been growing up, and in our church, more than 90 people are coming to the church every Sunday. Amen. And along with teaching in Bible school, we plant new churches, and we also train some young men and women. More than 150 every year, we train them, and we let them into the mission field. We direct them, and we support them. In this way, we try to extend the kingdom of God. Let me say something about Burma. Burma is a country of Buddhists. It has more than 55 million of people, and only 4 or 5 percent are Christians. Burmese people are not so radical as Muslim, but they are hard-hearted people. because of having the biggest pagodas in the world. The place where we can start and evangelize is only poor people, among poor people in the slum area. So they are receptive. So when we went down to that place, you know, we saw many people walking down on the street, having no job, having no education. Then my wife and I started to gather them together in one place. As my wife taught them about some songs to the children, I get close with their parents. In this way, we made bridge relationship with them. So we also emphasize children ministry. I have to look after five different places in different areas. So please pray for Burma. Many places we evangelize, but our capacity is limited. So please pray for Burma. Pray for people so that God's kingdom will be extended in Burma. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, Church. May God bless you all.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Hilario Samson. They call me Pastor Larry in the Philippines. I'm pastoring a local church in the Philippines in Cainta, near Manila, the capital city of the Philippines. Well, I came in 1997 to Honduras, Central America, to find a better job for my family. And then in 2005, one missionary from Maryland, Filipino-American missionary, and one from the Philippines, came to visit us. And one of them preached the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. I got saved. Me and my wife and other Filipinos and other local people. So I thank the Lord for that. And then from that time, we started the church. We had this Bible Institute, authored the curriculum, authored by American missionary named Melvin Brown. So we thank you, Americans, for sending missionaries to the Philippines. And also, and then my pastor went back to the Philippines, and I became the pastor of the local church. The name of the church is Iglesia Bautista Victoria, or Victory Baptist Church. And then we have a lot of sufferings during that time. I lost my job. My wife got sick. My children stopped schooling. But praise the Lord, everything, God made a lot of things. I learned something. Don't quit. Just continue serving the Lord. So I went back to the Philippines in 2012, and then I became an assistant pastor of a local church. Now I am now the pastor of the church, and we're doing a lot of soul winning and church planting. We have a daughter church. By God's grace, I'm also a Bible college teacher of Landmark Baptist College. This is also Landmark Baptist College, but maybe it's a different Baptist, Landmark Baptist College. But I thank the Lord, there's a Landmark Baptist College. And also, I thank the Lord for having the opportunity to be one of the teachers. And we have 28, 29 Bible students. Please pray for our students. And also, please pray for my desire to go mission in South or Central America, particularly Costa Rica. I can speak Spanish, English, and Tagalog because I've been pastoring in Honduras. I've been in Honduras for 14 and a half years. Please pray for us. Philippines has 110 million people, 7,100 islands, 80% are Roman Catholics, and it's very hard to win people for Christ. Please pray for us. God bless you.
My name is Emil Kofi from Togo, West Africa, which is a French-speaking country of about 8 million people. The majority been given to witchcraft and idol worshiping. And I grew up as an idol worshiper with my parents. Even though we were in church, I was baptized as a Catholic. And because I was baptized and I was in church every Sunday, I thought I was saved, even though we were still worshiping idols. This is the situation in our country. People mix idol worshiping and church. And because they are in church, baptized, they think they are saved. So I used to believe that about myself until one day as I was walking on the street, I found a gospel tract on the ground. I picked up that tract and read it. The title was Four Things You Need to Know. And he said that to be saved, you need to know that you are a lost sinner and that you cannot save yourself. You must know that Jesus died to save you. Amen. And you must believe on him to be saved. Yes. It was something I never heard before. So I kept on reading that tract over and over until I was convicted of the fact that I was lost and I needed to receive Jesus to be saved. And I thank God that there was a salvation prayer at the end of the tract. Amen. And through that prayer, I gave myself to Jesus Christ. And then after doing that prayer, I asked myself what to do next, because I knew nobody that was preaching that message, and I knew no other church except the Catholic Church. So I decided to find a church that would be preaching that message on the tract. So every Sunday, I would take my tract and visit different churches, hoping to find a church that would be preaching that message. But unfortunately, I found no church that was preaching that message. So I decided to write to the publisher. The tract was made in Germany, in French. What happened was an American missionary coming to Togo, stopped in Europe to study French, and then he bought the tract that he passed out in our country. So I wrote them requesting the correspondence courses they were offering to anyone who would like to study with them. But the answer came back from our country. They sent my letter to that missionary in our country. So he was the one who wrote me and directed me to his place. I met him, and God used him to give me the assurance of salvation. I knew then that I was really saved. If I die, I'll go to heaven. And God used him, used the missionary to train me to the ministry. I started my first church in 1987. I'm pastoring for 32 years now. And over the years, we have started 17 churches. We have a Bible Institute in the church where you train those who want to serve the Lord. And those who are called to the ministry, we send them to our villages where there's a great need of the gospel. You have hundreds of villages with no gospel at all. People die worshiping idols. And God has given us the burden to reach our people with the gospel, to open their eyes, to help them come out of that bondage to the spirit and come to the light of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is blessing. And I want to thank this church, because since 2001, you have been supporting me and those who are working with us. So we appreciate it, and we thank you very much for your support. Thank you.
Well, it's been my privilege the last 2.5 months to travel with these men of God and hear their testimonies and observe them. I had one guy say one time to me, he says, you know, I don't think you ought to support national pastors because there's no accountability. And so I've got a really good answer for that one. What missionaries, American missionaries, do you know of that travel on deputation, and the entire time they're on deputation, they have a representative from their mission board travel with them? Right. I don't know of anybody like that. Right. These guys all do. The whole time, we're with them the entire time. And it's a blessing. It is a joy and blessing to hear their testimonies. And I've had a chance to sit down with each of them and get more details on their stories. And we're gonna put them in book volume number 2 here pretty soon. And just let God use it for his glory and honor. Let's take our Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 1, if you would, please. Acts chapter 1, and let's all stand together, if you would. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. I just want to read one verse. We're going to touch on a bunch of verses tonight and try and move right through this. We want to talk about reaching the world and how we are to do that. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, very familiar passage. You probably could quote it with me. It says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this mandate that you've given your church, and thank you that this church here is carrying this mandate out successfully. And Lord, every church needs to do this as well. And Lord, there's so much more to do yet. And so help us never be satisfied that we've done enough. God, we pray that you will send out more from this church, send out more missionaries to the far-flung corners of the earth that need the gospel. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you very much. You may be seated. If you don't mind circling a word in your Bible, I want you to circle the word both right in the center of verse 8. Both in Jerusalem, Judea. The word both, if you study English at all, you know it talks about two people. Both of you come here. We do both this and this. It's only talking about two things, but in this passage, we have four things mentioned. Brother Coffee and I were driving down the road today, and he says, I don't know why you title that message both. He says, in the French version, the word both isn't even there. I says, well, it's not the King James, that's why, amen. No, is that a mistake? They just jump right over the word both and say, go unto me, witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria. I think the word both is very important. It's talking about two things, but it mentions four things. And I think it's very, very easy to figure out here. But there are four places mentioned, and Jesus went to all four places, gave us a great example. I want to go right straight to the example of his disciples and how they reached Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. In Jerusalem, Jerusalem was the capital of Israel, still is the capital of Israel. And God is using that in a great way. It's still the focal point of all of the world. The world's eyes are on Jerusalem at all times. But this was the place where, in chapter 2, Peter preached on the day of Pentecost. Jesus said, go into Jerusalem. That's your hometown. Your hometown here is Haines City. This is your Jerusalem. And every time you go out and knock on doors and run buses and give out tracts and invite people to church, you are reaching your Jerusalem. That's important. Peter preached and 3,000 were saved on the day of Pentecost in the city of Jerusalem. Later on, a couple of chapters later, 4,000 or 5,000 more were added. It could have been up to about 10,000 people in that early church in Jerusalem. Well, but they were content to stay in Jerusalem until chapter 8. You go to chapter 8 and Jesus had said, go to Jerusalem and Judea. They had kind of forgotten about the rest of it, apparently. But in chapter 8, Saul of Tarsus, who is an unsaved Jewish terrorist, and Saul was consenting unto his death at Stephen, and at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout all the regions of Judea and Samaria except the apostles. It's just interesting, isn't it, that God used the apostle Paul before he was an apostle, before he's even saved, to get the gospel to Judea and Samaria through persecution. Persecution's not all that bad. We don't like it. It's never fun. But we got to see the end game, amen? The end game is getting the gospel to the entire world. And right here it says that they left Jerusalem and were from the persecution. They went to Judea and Samaria, scattered abroad, and they took the word of God to these areas as well. Judea was the region of that area. You had three parts of Israel. You had Galilee in the north, Judea in the south, and Samaria right across the middle. And Samaria separated Galilee from Judea. And the Jews had no dealings with Samaritans, as you find out in John chapter 4. And so the Jews would go around Samaria, not to go through Samaria. They wouldn't want to go through Samaria. They don't like those people. They're not like them. So they went around to Galilee. They go from Galilee to Judea. They go around Samaria. They didn't want to go through Samaria. But the Bible says in John chapter 4, Jesus must needs go through Samaria. It was necessary. Why? Because some people he had to reach there. He loves them. He loves everybody. He loves all stripes and colors and people. And thank God for that. Amen? Aren't you glad for that? You know, when you cut everybody, we all bleed red. Did you know that? And the soul, there's no color to the soul of man. Just needy of Jesus, that's all. And the Judeans, and so they went through Judea in chapter 8. They were scattered throughout Judea. And then chapter 8, verse 1, then it talks about Samaria as well. Now, what is Samaria? By the way, Judea is like Polk County. All right, your county here. You're in Polk County, right? Yeah, okay, I thought so. I'm preaching this different places. I have to keep finding out where the county is. It keeps changing every place, you know? And Polk County is your Judea. And so when you're sending out buses and so forth, you're reaching Judea. But then we come to Samaria. Samaria was a mix of Jewish and Assyrian. I'm not going to read all this, but 2 Kings chapter 17, verses 24 to 41, talks about in the days of Hoshea, the king of Israel, the Assyrians came down and took Samaria. And they took the Samaritans, they took the Jews that were there and took them into captivity and brought people from other lands and relocated them in Samaria, and they intermarried with the Jews that lived there and created a new group called the Samaritans. And it's interesting, I call this Samaritan syndrome. It's interesting when you read that. Twice in that passage of 2 Kings chapter 17, it says that they served God, they feared the Lord and served their own gods. They feared the Lord and served their idols. Our brother just talked about the idol worship. Where'd he go? Right there. Just talked about the idol worship, and he did the same thing, exact same thing. He went to the Catholic Church on Sunday, and he worshiped his idols on Monday through Friday and Saturday. Amen? And that's what they were doing. They had just enough fear of God to fear God. And you know, the Samaritans were serving other gods, and God sent lions among them. Interesting story. Started killing some of them. And they said, oh, this is bad. Why are these lions coming? And someone said, because you're not serving the God of Israel. So they sent a guy from Assyria who had been taken captive and a priest and sent him down. They started teaching the people about the true and living God. And then they said they served, they feared the Lord and they served their own gods. They did both. Right. That's why Jews had no dealings with Samaritans and Samaritans had no dealings with Jews. But in Samaria, in chapter 8 is the Samaritan chapter, really, because in verse 5, it says, Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. No, Jesus had already been there in John chapter 4. He had already opened up the blood. Many people in that city in Sychar had been saved. And here, some men went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ, and the people gave heed according to those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing miracles which he did, and God brought many people from Samaria to Christ. In verse 5, Philip preaches there. In verse 14, Peter and John go down to see what's going on. And they go down and they validate that the Samaritans were hearing the word of God and they were actually being saved. In verse 25, it says, and they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. Yeah. They were reaching Samaria, weren't they? Now, who is our Samaria? It's not a location. It's people. Certain people. Now, the Jews didn't like the Samaritans because they didn't believe the same doctrine. They didn't like them because they were a mixed breed, you might say, a half Assyrian and a half Jewish. And there's a lot of people in our world today that we just skip over them. I'll knock on the door of the person that looks like me or believes like me or talks like me, but anybody that's not like me, I just don't feel comfortable giving them the gospel. That's your Samaritan. That's the people you need to try to reach. The homeless people, people begging on the streets, people that come from different countries, don't speak American real well or English real well. There is a difference, I guess, English and American, you know. But the people that you just don't feel comfortable, that's the Samaritans. Those are the ones that we need to reach. And Jesus went out of his way over and over again to bring attention to the Samaritan people. And then it says, the word both here is now where we want to bring the word both into here, because he says, go both to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and uttermost parts. Now, what's he talking about here? What two parts could these, where do you divide these four? Well, the first three is one. And the last one stands by itself. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, those, that's the locality, that's reaching local people. The rest of the world is reaching global people. We have to have a local ministry. We have to have a global ministry. That's what your missions is all about. You know, when you give your tithes and offerings are designed to stay inside the walls here. That keeps the lights burning, keeps your preacher paid and fed. Amen? And I mean, all the ministries that go on here, the radio station, the college, the children's homes, all kinds of things, the printing ministry that you have going on here, that finances that. But your missions budget goes outside the walls of the church. Amen. That belongs out there. And everybody likes to give to build new buildings on the property or update things. But it's kind of hard to give to something you can't see.
Right.
But that's where faith comes in, doesn't it?
Right.
Because God is at work in the lives of these men that you're supporting here. And God is using them in a mighty way. And you may not know until heaven what has been accomplished through your missions giving. Now, but you just keep on giving. You just keep on doing what's right. The uttermost parts of the earth, in chapter 8 here of Acts, we see the early church starting to reach the world. Acts chapter 8, verse 26 to 39, Philip reaches the Ethiopian eunuch. Now, Ethiopia is in Africa. And the people of Ethiopia, even today, go back to the time that the Ethiopian eunuch was saved and brought the gospel to Ethiopia. Isn't that amazing? The story is still there. Well, they're starting to reach the world, aren't they? In chapter 10. Peter preaches to Cornelius. This was a big thing for old Peter. He didn't like Gentiles. He was a good Jew, you know. He didn't like Gentiles. And God had to teach him something through that vision. Remember that? And he went and he reached Cornelius, the centurion, who was over 100 soldiers. He was a member of the Roman Empire. He didn't spend all his time there. He probably traipsed all over the world. And they were reaching the world, and so he and his family are saved. In Acts chapter 13, the church at Antioch sent out Paul and Barnabas. Later, they sent out Paul and Silas to Asia Minor, then to Macedonia. Remember in Acts chapter 16, verses 6 to 9, he was in Philippi there. Not Philippi, he was in a place before he went to Philippi, and he was trying to figure out, where am I going to go? And he tried to go into Asia, and the Holy Spirit says, no. Then he tried to go into Bithynia, and the Holy Spirit says, no. Now, that stopped most Baptists right there, wouldn't it? God told me no twice. I guess he doesn't want me to serve him. No, keep looking, because the door is going to open if you keep trying them. Amen? And in the nighttime, he got a vision from a guy from Macedonia saying, come over and help us. Ah, surely gathering, this is God's will. They went to Philippi, and the rest is history. Europe got the gospel. I think it's really interesting in Acts chapter 19, verse 10. If you got your Bible, just flip right over there. Because, you know, Paul wanted to reach Asia, right? And God says no. Does that mean God did not want the Asians to hear the gospel? Well, no, of course not. But look at Acts chapter 19, verse 10. Paul is in Corinth and came to Ephesus. And while he was Ephesus for a couple years preaching, in verse 10 it says, this continued by the space of 2 years, listen, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. Whew. Hey, Asia got the gospel. It just wasn't time yet. They weren't quite ready yet. Listen, God's in control of when we go and where we go and how we go. We've just got to be sensitive to the Spirit of God. Say, God, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. Wherever you want me to go, I'll go. Just show me, and I'm available for you. In Romans chapter 15, two verses, verse 24 and 28, Paul mentions going to Spain, of all places. That was the farthest western point of the Roman Empire. He said, I want to reach it all. I'm going into all the world. And you know, Paul didn't do it by himself. He was a go-getter. But you read his epistles, his 13 epistles, you'll read a list of 125 people that helped him while he was in prison. They gave him food. They took his letters to different places. They housed him. They gave him money. They gave him books. They gave him jackets. They gave him coats. They traveled with him. They delivered his letters to other churches. And Paul had a whole bunch of people, whole army of people that worked with him. And you know, that's what we are. Right. We are workers for God. Sometimes we say, you know, the preacher, you know, Preacher Carter, he's a great man, and he is. You know, he wouldn't do anything without you. He needs people here, amen? He tithes, but he can't do all the tithing. Right. He gives the missions, but he can't give all the money to missions. None of us can. We all work together. We're a team. We work together as a team. We say, let's get the gospel out. Let's band together and put our money together and put our efforts together and let God call from this church people he wants to go to the far-flung corners of the world, and let's send them there and keep them there until the job gets done. God says, go into all the world, beginning at home. We need to go locally. We need to go globally. Both. Both local, both global. Both here and both there. Amen? Here and there. Well, when are we supposed to stop? When is it over for us? I think this can be answered in a little story I heard one of our national pastors tell last fall. Brother Jerry Tanawan told this everywhere he preached, just about. He told about this Japanese soldier that was in the Philippines. Of course, you know, the Japanese went into the Philippines and we drove them out. Thank the Lord for that. And they thank us to this day for that. But there's this Japanese soldier. His name is Onoda. He was on the island of Mindoro. I was just asking our national pastors about this because I said, where is this place, you know? And it's not far from Manila, apparently. And this guy was on this island, and he had been told by his commanding officer to be there. He was an intelligence officer. He was there to gather information, and he was told to stay there until you get other commands. And so he was there. Well, the war in the Philippines ended August 15th, 1945. But he stayed hidden in the mountains, every once in a while venturing out to get food. Sometimes he was still fighting people. And he said, they said, hey, the war is over. No, it isn't, he says. My commanding officer told me to come over here and stay here until he told me to come home. And I'm not going home until I get a word from my commander that I'm going home. And he stayed in the mountains and refused to return to Japan. Well, they finally located his commanding officer. This is 28 years later. He never went home until 1973, but they located his commander, and they said, listen, this guy will not listen to anybody except you. You're the one that issued the command. He's the one that's keeping the command. We got to do something about this. And the guy says, okay. He sat down, and he wrote out a new command. Surrender. Come back to Japan. And they took it, and they gave it to him, and he looked at the, he says, yep, that's his name. He packed his duds and went right back to Japan, no problem. People were astounded. This guy really took it seriously, didn't he? We got thinking about that, and we received a command 2,000 years ago from our Lord Jesus Christ to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he hasn't told us not to. And when he calls us home, it'll be over. When we get to heaven, folks, there'll be no more need for missions. No more need for missions giving. You better do it while you're living. Someone said, if you're giving while you're living, then you're knowing where it's going. Amen? And when you're dead and gone, you won't give anymore. And when the rapture happens and we're caught out of here, we won't have any more missions to do. We'll be done. But the commander hasn't called us back home yet. So let's just stay with it. Let's just keep praying. Let's just keep giving. Let's just keep going and be faithful until Jesus comes again. Shall we? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your wonderful love to us. While we were sinners, you died for us. You shed your precious blood that we could have everlasting life. And that is the message of missions. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Oh, maybe there's someone here tonight, Lord, that knows about you but doesn't know you personally. I pray that today, tonight will be the day of their, night of their salvation. I pray for us as believers that we will take a step out of our seats and say, Lord, here am I, use me. I want to be faithful until you come again or until you take me home. God, may we just have a desire to please you, desire to be sensitive to your leading in our lives, that you can get the power and the glory for it all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Heard a tremendous message tonight again. Heard from these missionaries. It's a big cause we're involved in, and as the preacher just said, God has not changed his mind. He hadn't called the commission back, hadn't revised it. It's still go, it's still send, it's still give. We're still involved. I think Brother Scotty said this morning that little plaque that we see on the wall, and it's been around for so many years, says only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Now's our time to do something that will last. Something that's close to God's heart, sending the gospel around the world. And it still works. The missionary tonight, Brother Coffee, he was into religion, but he wasn't into Christ. Religion deals with idols and a lot of things that are false. The truth is the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we're so familiar with tracks. We pass them out. They get in the floorboard of our car. They get crumpled up in our pockets. They get lost in our Bible. And yet it was a track laying on the sidewalk that Brother Coffee picked up. It was still the Word of God. Still had the power of God on it. Because of that start and him getting saved in all the churches he talked about, God helped him to start and get him started. Tonight, if God's spoken to your heart, number one, if you're not saved, you're in a good place. You've been hearing about it, hearing testimonies. And if you realize you are not saved, you've never received Christ. You may have religion, but you don't have him. We're going to sing a verse of song. You can come. We'll pray with you here at the front. You'll know before you leave tonight. You can know that you're going to heaven when you die. But also, tonight, let the Lord speak to our hearts about doing a little more, sending a little more, giving a little more to get the job done. God's blessings has been on our church through the years, but I know why, because we've been trying to obey what he told us to do. That's to send the gospel. We have soul winning every week. Some weeks folks get saved, some not so much, but we still try. We keep going, keep going, keep going. We keep sending our missionaries. We keep praying, and I believe with all my heart that's the reason God continues to bless us. Brother Bert, lead us in something, and whatever God's asked you to do, you do it as we sing.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence daily. I surrender all.
let you be seated a moment and share with you here. We have some young men out of the college here. I'm going to call their names and ask them to stand up here with me. Josiah Vercellus. We have Dylan, is that what you say it? Yeah. Say, come in and help me with your last name so I don't say it wrong.
Ottenreith.
That's what I was going to say. Then we have Jacob. Where's Jacob? You help me with your last name.
Scavone.
See why I needed help? Anyway, all of these now have gotten assurance of their salvation and going to follow the Lord in baptism. Amen. So we praise the Lord for that. Amen. Have a motion to receive them for baptism tonight. Show of hands and so cared. I'm going to ask some of the men to take them right on around, get them ready for baptism. Amen. That's great. Praise the Lord. Listen, sort of like Brother Coffey's testimony tonight. They knew a bunch of stuff, but not all that should know and didn't know Christ. And they had to get that thing settled. That's not unusual, folks. We have had students through all these years from time to time come from some pretty good churches. And still, they had religion, but they didn't have Christ. And the Holy Spirit got a hold of them here, and we've seen this happen before. Amen. Well, tonight, the ushers, while preaching was going on there, they went through the promise cards and the offering, and we won't really know what the offering probably is till tomorrow. I hope it was a good one today, because we still like what you see on the ribbon up there. And we still like that. I'm hoping it was a good offering today. I hope we all did a little extra. And of course, we're going to keep giving. And the last offering will be taken on watch night service to try to reach that goal. Hopefully, we'll go over it. I'm praying we will. Don't know. It's that way every year. Brother Smith's got a note here for me. And he's added up the cards here. And the cards never tell us the whole truth. And so he's put another word down here under him. He said, by the grace of God, we'll hit 500,000 again. And that's what it will take. And that's what we're shooting for. This has happened to us now, every now and then. I even had some money, I think, given to me today I got to turn in. Now, it won't make a whole lot of difference, but it'll make some. That's the way it works, folks. It all adds up. Yeah, the preacher said tonight, no one person can do it all. But boy, when we put it all together, that makes a difference, don't it? That makes a difference. And so if you think, well, everybody else will do it. Well, if they do, you'll miss the blessing of having a part in it. And I hope that you have already and that you will. We've got some time yet until we get to the watch night service and have the new year. Come in. All right. Should maybe you got time to lead us in a verse? They're getting ready for baptism back there.
All right. 551 in your hymn books. 551. Since the Savior found me, pardoned all my sin. Ready? Okay. We'll save it for next week. Okay. Amen.
Dylan Ottenreith, upon your acceptance of Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and in obedience to his command, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, buried in the likeness of his death, raised in the likeness of resurrection, to walk in newness of life. Jacob Scavone, upon your acceptance of Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and in obedience to his command, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, buried in the likeness of his death, raised in the likeness of his resurrection, to walk in newness of life. Josiah Vercellus, upon your acceptance of Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and in obedience to his command, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, buried in the likeness of his death, raised in the likeness of his resurrection, to walk in newness of life.
Well, that was wonderful to see a dad baptizing his son. Amen. And it's great to see these young men get it settled and get right and get peace about it. Here's the one thing they did not have. They did not have peace. And folks, knowing you're saved brings peace. It brings peace. And there's a whole lot of folks that ought to probably do what these young men did tonight, because they don't have peace about it. They've again got religion, but not the real thing. Amen. All right, now pray about our mission conference, because it's over kind of officially, but the results will keep coming on and following up. Sometimes you hear it, somebody say this at a funeral, Brother Tom, he's gone to his reward. But if you really serve God, the rewards keep coming in. They keep coming in. And I believe that what we had here in the mission conference will keep bearing results. Pray about these men. Some of these men, we probably already sending something to monthly. We'll do our best to send the others that came and helped us out and left their family and traveled over here. We'll probably do our best, and hopefully we'll have the money come in mission-wise that we'll be able to do that, to also support them. I don't know. Somebody, Brother Smith, Sister Michaud, or somebody can give you this answer, give me the answer, and I can pass it on to you. Somebody asked me tonight, how many missionaries do we support? We have some mission projects as well as individual missionaries, of course. And some of you that are into the computer thing more than me, probably could go on our website and find out quite a bit. I think you could. Now, I'm not 100% sure of that. But we do have a list of them. Otherwise, we wouldn't know where to send the money to. Amen. So we do have a list. How many? I'd have to guess, but I'm sure it's over 100 at least. Over 100. I think it's probably a good bit over that. And it's awful hard, even for the folks working in bookkeeping and everything else. It's awful hard. We have communication coming in all the time from the mission field, from the different connections, the different people. We saw that when we had the storm damage down in the Bahamas. We had missionaries coming over, and we were trying to help out there. By God's grace, our church has a big missionary footprint all over the world. Isn't that wonderful? It really is. And men like you've heard that God is using, as you heard in this, the testimonies here in this mission conference. Again tonight, I think we're supposed, Brother Tom, I think we're supposed to take them over to the cafeteria and give them some more health food. Y'all know what that is? I may think you know. It's probably that famous American food that's got a foreign name. Isn't pizza a foreign name? And maybe some other stuff. I don't know. I'm joking around with it. But anyway, we appreciate them coming, Brother Tom. Appreciate you being so very much, and appreciate the message you brought us and how God is using you. We're so thankful for you. All right, let's stand. Turn around and shake hands with somebody. God bless you. Let's be dismissed.